Now, I am your host, Pete Stedman, and today it gives me great pleasure to interview the fascinating and fearless Fawn Miller. Welcome, Fawn.
Thank you so much, Pete. What an introduction. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Thank you. For those of you who aren't familiar with Fawn's work, I'm going to share a little from her bio here. Fawn is a master level life, career, purpose, transformational coach, facilitating and mentoring for 8 years, as well as a writer, free thinker, re-educator, community leader, researcher, regenerative ecology proponent, and a paradigm shifter. She has expertly guided high caliber, high achievers and game changers through waking up and breaking free of their cultural and corporate conditioning, discovering their innate and infinite potential, and tapping into their thrive mode consciousness. In service to purpose-inspired expression, creativity, and contribution, her insatiable lifelong passion has been dedicated to facilitating the awakening and expression of human consciousness and the activation of inner and outer thrive through experiential reconnection with essential truth, innate wisdom, ecological awareness, and the symbiotic community. For the last 6 years, her obsession has manifested as the realization, research, development, creation, facilitation, and teaching of her revolutionary signature program, Life Fun Purpose. LFP, as she refers to it, is a cultivation of, and the cultivation of the LFP community of 160 plus people and growing fast, while training incredible coaches, mentees in the LFP philosophy and framework so that they may bring this transformational work into the world through their unique zones of genius. She lives in a tiny village on the Pacific coast of Mexico, close to Puerto Vallarta, which is only accessible by boat, with her amazing life partner and their two dogs. Currently, they are developing their vision of a transformational regenerative eco-experience center and garden on their stunning 30-acre mountain jungle property, which has these incredible 180-degree views of the Pacific Ocean. They aim to launch their shared dream with the world in early 2024. Oh my goodness, that's a lot. It's hard to believe you've done that much already in your life, Fawn. I just want to introduce the theme of our talk today, the awakening and activation of inner and outer thrive as the vital path to a flourishing future for all. This is incredible. I'm so excited to dive into the topic. Before we do dive into that, could you share a little bit about your journey into coaching? What prompted the change? How you've come to be where you are?
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you for that introduction. And that's the introduction is really the laser version. And what I'll share with you here is going to be the behind the scenes, very personal journey that I've been on to make all of that a reality and co-create that with those around me. So as a child and through my younger years, I grew up in the mountains of northern Idaho, and I grew up in nature. My parents were kind of bona fide California hippies that had moved up to the mountains. And we didn't have television, as it were, back in the 80s and 90s. So I spent a lot of time running around the forest and exploring and connecting with animals and using my imagination to experience the incredible world around me. And throughout my years, I started to realize that some people seem to be loving life and flourishing in life and really enjoying life in a way that I could understand and relate with. And on the other hand, some people really seemed to struggle, really seemed to suffer. And as a youngster, I could not wrap my head around that. I could not understand at that age why that would be the case. Why would some people be so unhappy or seem to be having such a hard time? And so with my very open heart and my very open empathy, I started to connect with people in a very deep and intimate and real way from a very young age. And as I stand here today and look back, I believe that that context was really the seed and the foundation of what has guided me to stay true to this sense of wanting to be a part of the flourishing of all beings, wanting to be a positive contribution to humanity and to other human beings in a way that involves not just human happiness and human success and achievement as we've been taught in the Western world, but humanity as a flourishing part of the ecological earth that we are all a part of. So I went on to study, surprise, surprise, psychology, and my passion for the human experience and for my curiosity around the human experience and this question around what is it that helps, seems to help some people thrive and other people suffer. So I went on this academic pursuit of answers through research and through very closely working with some of the best professors in the world at UC Berkeley. And my real impetus was to try to figure out what it is that I could do that could contribute in this way, contribute to thriving in this way. And I discovered a lot in my ventures academically. However, at that point, this was the early 2000s, the opportunities with a psychology background and foundation were such that you either go into academia or you go into therapy or psychotherapy. Really, those were kind of the main two roads. Academia didn't speak to me too much. And as much as I love therapy and I have benefited from therapy in my life, I could not bring myself to focus on this westernized approach to focusing on what's wrong with people, with this kind of fundamental underlying assumption that something is wrong that must be fixed and that it's all here and that we're somehow fundamentally flawed and faulty. I knew that to not be true through my research and my experience. So what led me to coaching was really this thankfully intuitive part of me that, much to the dismay of my academic supervisors and colleagues, I did not go on to pursue an advanced degree, a graduate degree. And instead, I kind of graduated, broke off the path, and took it upon myself to continue diving into my own research in these domains and in these areas that just were not being helpfully cultivated within the academic pathways that were set forth. So I spent the latter part of my 20s, honestly, doing this kind of simultaneous dance between, oh my God, what am I doing with my life? What am I, you know, what is my future going to be? I thought it was going to be psychology, but I can't bring myself to do that. Knowing that I'm full of potential, you know, graduating at the top of my class, but not seeing a path in the structure of society that really spoke to me and really resonated with me and really would allow for me to do what my heart and my soul had been calling me to do for my entire life. So I was simultaneously studying on my own, voraciously, you know, reading anything from cultural anthropology to esoteric wisdom to Maslow, to, you know, the great philosophers. And I just kind of threw myself into this question around the human experience and flourishing and trying to get a sense of what I could do with that, what I can do with this. And then meanwhile, to be quite honest, because there wasn't a path set forth, I was in a pretty interesting existential tailspin on a personal level, because I didn't want to just arbitrarily choose to go into corporate America or go into upper management or climb the corporate ladder. Nothing against that to those who have or do. You know, we're not given a lot of options when it comes to pursuing meaningful paths in our society in these unique ways. So I was going through this like alchemical process almost of existential dismay while also finding clarity around what it is I really wanted to bring into the world. And at some point, bless her, my sister intervened and she essentially said, you are too full of potential to be just not doing anything with your life. Like, you need to figure this out and start, you know, start doing something with yourself. And so for once in my life, I let my little sister kind of delegate my next move. And she suggested that I talk to a life coach. If the therapist isn't really serving that, see if you can find a life coach. And I hadn't even considered it because in academia, coaching was not respected or considered to be a legitimate path or a legitimate approach to supporting humans. But at that point, I was like, I'll try anything. So I did. So I found a coach, talked to a few, found one that was, that got it, that understood me, that really understood that where I was at and where, what I was wanting to do with my life. And from that point onward, I simultaneously received the support that I was really needing. And I also realized, oh my gosh, this is, I can do this. This is something I can, like, life coaching is a thing. So it became clear, the waters parted, so to speak. And I threw myself into the realm of coaching, life coaching at first, getting a couple of certifications, and then realizing that there's this capacity for specialization in the coaching field that just doesn't exist anywhere else. So knowing that thriving and purpose were really my engine and really my focus for so long, I shifted into what is now considered to be transformational or purpose coaching. And I still do serve those who are professional. There's usually something that happens in the career capacity. I started to notice this trend where really high achievers and really high caliber folks who, for all intents and purposes, have like done the thing. They have checked the boxes. They have succeeded by all standards and purposes, but they reach this point where they realize, like, I'm successful, but I'm not happy. I have everything I could ever want, or I'm on the path to climbing the ladder, and I am more miserable than ever. And so I started having these conversations and hearing these stories from the corporate world, from the more traditional paths, and I started to see and realize, oh my gosh, I see what's happening here. There is a spiritual existential alarm clock that is going off in people because they're meant for so much more than what they've been shown is possible and what they've been shown as an option in their life. And they just don't know it because our society doesn't educate, inform, or equip people with the inner understanding of who they truly are, what they truly are, let alone what's possible in the world when that limitlessness is expressed. So that's been the past 9 years of my professional path, has been developing and specializing and fine-tuning this, I'm so grateful to say, but this incredible framework and approach and journey that I've been so honored to guide hundreds of people on in discovering what I refer to as their inner thrive, which is this natural wellspring of wisdom and ecological interconnectedness that we all are, and cultivating that and helping them to wake up into that. And then from there, facilitating the journey around, now what do you want to create? What does your outer thrive look like? What does the professional or personal, you know, dream life journey look like from that transformation? So that's the kind of historical edit of that reflective look back for me. And you know, it's I feel so grateful that whatever it has been within me, inside of me, that has always known and stayed true to my intuition through thick and thin, high and low, external judgment from culture, professors, peers who are like, what are you doing? You're not going to go to graduate school. You're not going to, get a normal job. I'm so grateful to that part of me that's always known that I'm here for more and that there is a calling beckoning me forth. And somehow I've stayed true to it. And here I am. And now I get to facilitate that in other human beings and watch them bloom and flourish. And it's the best. Yeah.
That's such a beautiful journey. It's such a, there's so many pieces in there. I'm just picking out a couple of things, the journey you've been on and the strength, the sort of following your intuition and trusting in yourself. Like, I have huge admiration for the dedication to creating your own path. I can imagine there's many people watching this who can relate to the feeling of success, but being unhappy, or not necessarily unhappy, just empty. There, it's just not what society had painted for them. It wasn't. They're feeling disconnected. This is like that stagnation point where it's like, I think I've been fed a lie by a broken system. And so that's for me is hugely inspiring and empowering to you share this journey of how so much is possible when we kind of trust ourselves and we step into that thrive mode, as you refer to. And so I want to just go a little bit deeper into this. And I'm curious, what is it that you see, know, and or understand about human beings and thriving that inspires the work that you do?
Gosh. I'll start by saying that deep, deep, deep down, I believe that we all know it, but we've been conditioned to ignore it. And so what I see that informs all of this, that I see in others or that I know now know to be true, isn't any different than what is in other beings. And I want to be very clear about that. I'm grateful that I've been able to cultivate this ability to the degree that I have in seeing this. And it's available to everybody. It's available to everybody to see within themselves and in the world around them and each other. So that said, I know that human beings have been fed a narrative. And this isn't conspiracy theory. This isn't conspiratorial at all. This is fact. That human beings have been fed a narrative about who they are, where they came from, what they're supposed to be, do, and have, and their relationship with the world around them being separate. And those are all misinformation at best and untruths and lies at worst. None of what we have been told for most of us none of it is accurate. And it took, as I mentioned, a lot of research, a lot of digging, a lot of following the facts to come to this understanding and this seeing, as well as my own experiential journey. So it was very much so an empirical investigation as much as it was an experiential investigation that, oh my gosh, we as human beings, if we look back to the era before we started to be fed this narrative, we were flourishing. In fact, a lot of cultures around the world were doing pretty darn good for hundreds of thousands, if not millions of years. And what allowed for us to thrive throughout history is still within us. And it's actually, we're at an evolutionary precipice threshold. And we have been for the past 3,000 or 4,000 years that has been halted by this external kind of pressure and set of rules and control systems and structures that have been put upon us. So I know that human beings are innately intelligent, not in terms of cognition, or sometimes I refer to as the commotion of our neurology. So not in terms of fact intelligent, even though we are massively intelligent in that regard. We are innately intelligent in the sense that there is an entire part of our system that is specifically attuned to knowing what it is that we're here for individually and together. Some experience that as intuition. Some experience that as an inner knowing or inner wisdom. Some experience that as passion or flow state or engagement with things that they enjoy. But that part of us that knows far beyond the factual knowing and knows on this deeper level, I know that we as human beings are innately designed to thrive. And I don't mean from like dogmatically a creator designed in terms of our history when we look at our place in the ecology of the world prior to 3,000 years ago. So in knowing that we have not only this innate intelligence and also that we have this inner wisdom and this inner guidance system within us, that we are capable of so creating and being and living and doing and expressing on levels that we typically can't even imagine because we've been so conditioned to think small in these boxes, in these ways. And this knowing, this very important distinction between, oh, we are born sinners and we are born faulty, which is a lie, and the truth, which is that we are literally inherently designed to thrive, and we have this inner guidance system and this intelligence within us that knows how to thrive. That distinction is everything, and it informs and facilitates the awakening of that part of each and every human being that I have the honor of working with. And I think this knowledge, I know that this knowledge is awakening within hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people right now on this planet. There is an alarm system in us that can only take so much of what's not working, of the lies. And the oppression and the systemization and the depersonalization, there's only so much we can take before our innate wisdom says, all right, enough is enough. Let's come back to what we are essentially designed to do, which is thriving. And that's where a lot of people feel in this free fall or this suspended animation of living life, as it were, in the way that they've been told to, but another part of them feels like there's got to be so much more than this, right? So, yeah.
This is absolutely fascinating. I completely resonate with everything you're sharing here. Like just the unlimited potential within people and just how, I guess the last two or three years, I think has been a huge turning point for many people. They've just realized how much control the system has over their lives. And they're like, it's really, I think that realization has sped up in that process, which I think may be a blessing, like a gift out of the last two to three years. Is that people are sort of wakening up or realizing the fragility of life, and that they're not just here to pay bills and die. They've realized it's like, no, I used to have this calling. I used to have this vision. I used to have something. And they're really stepping into that. And so then like with people being at this stage, how does this translate into the radically transformational nature of your work?
You know, it's shockingly simple. That when people, when I share with people the truth of who and what they are, from, as I mentioned, a very empirically validated, you know, researched stance, there's something inside that recognizes it and wakes up. And so the radically transformational nature of the work that I do is the simplicity of introducing the simplicity of truth and then facilitating that awakening and that recognition as it's happening within the person. And that's the part where most coaching, and I want to be very mindful about how I say this, because in no way am I judging or saying that there's a better or a worse. In most coaching modalities or behavioral improvement modalities, etc., there's a skipping of this very vital aspect, of this very vital part, which is the unveiling and the realization of the truth of who and what we truly are. And most approaches kind of just interface with the person as the person is, who they think they are right now, and then try to improve upon that, right? Like positive personal development techniques and tools and life hacks and optimization and all these things, right? Which are super fun and helpful, and goodness knows, like, I've implemented a lot of them, but it's missing this fundamental awakening into the consciousness and the capacity for experiencing oneself and experiencing life in an entirely different way from what we're conditioned to be able to experience life as. So you can kind of think of it as like aperture. So there's like, the way that we're conditioned has most people innocently living in this small kind of aperture of what they think they are, and also aperture of experience of life. And so what I get to do is to help the expansion of that through the seeing and the experiencing of these much greater aspects of our humanity, biological, neurological, and energetic on a very fundamental level. And that is the game changer. Like, awakening people to the fact and the truth that they are innately intelligent, that nothing is wrong with them. Nothing ever was wrong with them. They're not faulty. They're not flawed. They're not sinners. And they're not fucked up. Like, that is a game changer for people to not only conceive of, but to really experience within themselves. And so the journey is a simplicity of awakening and an introduction of truth, as well as it is a guided, facilitated, kind of staging of that unfolding and of that awakening. So there's a support for the realizing that our thoughts are not actual reality, or our thinking is not our who we actually are. Who we think we are is not who we are. So there's a lot of like realization around the role of thoughts in the human experience, which is radically transformative. And then as we continue along the journey, I get to share with others what I've learned that has been so helpful in unleashing, unlocking, and really releasing them back into the wild of their natural essence, of their natural connection with the vitality and the energy of life. And so it's a natural wellspring, a natural attunement to thriving as a way of living versus in the more traditional avenues, it's a pursuit of improvement or a pursuit of thriving. And those two ways of were completely different, in my opinion, very, very different. I kind of went off on a little tangent there. I don't know if that answers your question.
No, that's perfect. I want to echo something out of that. And a message which is coming up in multiple interviews is there is nothing wrong with you. I want to just sort of let that sink in for the audience. I just think it's something where we're measuring success using a flawed system. The system yes. wants us to feel imperfect or feel broken or feel something because it fuels their agenda. It doesn't do anything but our inner and outer thrive mode. In fact, it does the opposite. And I also love the fact that the journey and the transformation can be simple or is simple. And I just want to share with people, it can be really unnerving when you step into a system of transformation. And it can be easy. There's times when we're traveling and we're living in Costa Rica and we want to have these experiences. And it's like, it literally feels like we're linking arms and rafting down the river. And it's a system designs it or makes us feel like we have to be swimming against the current constantly. And if we don't keep swimming, we're going to get washed away. So I think it's so cool the work that you're doing just to be able to allow people the inner peace to be able to step into that thrive mode. I've got another piece here. When people are working with you, I'd like you to sort of share a little bit. I know the journey into self-discovery can kind of be a bumpy road. What are people likely to encounter or experience as they're stepping? Because essentially they're stepping from their comfort zone. They're comfortably uncomfortable, but they know they don't belong there. So what does it feel like for people when they're stepping in and starting this journey? What would you share for those people?
Yeah. Clarification question. Is this in general or when I'm working with folks?
Can be a bit of both. It could be the general feeling and how you facilitate the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I'll say the general feeling is actually what inspired me to see the efficacy of my process. So you're absolutely right. The experience of awakening is very, very significant. It's very, it can be euphoric. It can also be very dissociating. It can be very scary. It can feel a lot of strange things, ways, because it is so new, right? It is not the norm. It is not the way that most people have been living their lives. And so the alarm clock that's going off is in no uncertain terms telling people, wake up. And that waking up, if people don't understand what it is or what it's saying or what that signal is indicating, it can send people, innocently into these oh my God, I'm having a midlife crisis or, panic attacks or guilt, right? Oh, I have everything I could ever want. Why would I want anything different? So there's a lot that can come up simply because there is no context or support system for this in our society. And so it's a very isolating, it can be a very isolating experience, which is heartbreaking in a sense, because it's actually the exact opposite. It's that vitality awakening within them that is reconnecting with the truth of who they are. So in realizing that most of what was out there, and I searched high and low and I did my recon, and not to say there's nothing out there that's helpful, but there wasn't and isn't a lot of actual support for this process and for this awakening that's happening. thankfully these days there are a lot more, there is a lot more than there was when I started almost 10 years ago. So in seeing how disruptive this was for people, and very early on in my career as a coach, and me naturally being very, just connecting with people very deep, easily and deeply, naturally, I noticed the value of having a safe space, having a guide, and then having a process that they can kind of fall into while they're having their own organic wisdom guided experience of awakening. Having somebody with them, me, or now my amazing mentees and coaches, to be there with them at every step and say, don't worry about this. I got you. I have resources. I have perspective. I can help you understand what's going on here. That feeling of safety allows for people, in my experience, allows for my clients to be able to be on the journey of awakening in, I would say, like an expedited way, because they're not flailing trying to figure out what's going on. And so for my clients, I hope, it's a very supported, guided, like I always encourage curiosity over fear, right? Because it's really about, it's the experience is happening. And so learning how to have experience without being afraid of our experience is a huge part of this like early stage and this facilitation. And it is uncomfortable, but at the same time, with guidance or a community or an understanding or a context of what's happening, that discomfort is actually so invigorating and so exciting and so enlivening. And even in the most, moments of discomfort, so to speak, of like the old falling away and the new arising, even in those moments, when held in context of community and the ecology that we're all in this together with a guide or a number of, whether it's a group or a community or a coach, it makes all the difference in the world insofar as what I've seen, and allows for this shift to happen much more, I would say, naturally in terms of its emergence versus in the normal context of society where it's like kind of like, oh my God, what's going on? And it's subdued and there's a lot of like fear and et cetera. So, in most wisdom traditions and cultures, there was a support system for this, or it wasn't even necessary at all because people hadn't been conditioned. But in most cultures, until the kind of Western conditioning, if you will, there were the women of the village who supported the rites of passage and the awakening of every stage of life, or there were the shaman, or there were the Sherpas, or there were, right, there's always been a support system for everybody's health, really, everybody's thriving in health. And our culture not only doesn't have that, but actually isolates those who are going through these things. And so I would say that the journey looks very, can feel and be very, very different depending on the context that the person is in when they're going through it.
That's it's an incredible journey. And I want to echo, and the part around the process and systems is so, so valuable. but the support, it's the having the knowledge, the people around you who've been through it, experienced it, and can understand where you're at from a non-judgmental point of view. That's where the real power is. It's their ability to provide the perspective change, to recognize the gift in a wound. Because I feel that there's a lot of us who we focus on our wounds too much, and we don't see the gift which is being born out of that. And so I think I want to just say a testament to Fawn's work around how this having a guide on this journey is really, really powerful and can expedite the process massively, because they can save you from a lot of the pitfalls. Quite often in the journey into self-discovery, you can kind of just collapse into a pool of misery, because you're going in, you're uncovering these parts of you which you've subconsciously wanted to forget about, but are limiting. They're like running with anchors. And so I want to encourage people just to explore this more. I want to just sort of kind of just say, look, it's like this, if you're feeling that there's more to life, but you're kind of afraid, then please step in, please explore this work. And so then I just want to also should have said that I completely connect with the ancient wisdoms. I feel that that's a really important piece. Just the process of reconnecting, I think at the point we're at now, where everybody's so disconnected. They're disconnected from themselves, their families, from nature, from just, it's the time to come together and just start to reconnect to something which is meaningful. I would like to just ask, what would you like to share with the world in this moment that you believe has the potential to catalyze an immediate positive ripple effect?
At the essence, really, I would invite people to look within and ask themselves and kind of feel into this. What would my experience be like without my stories, without my judgments, without my assumptions or my fears or my rules? So all of those things were picked up along the way at some point. Not to say they're wrong, not to say they're inaccurate, not to say anything about them, except for the very important distinction that those are like filters. Those are like, I call them reality filters. And who and what we truly are beneath and before those filters is infinitely creative, infinitely wise, not wounded, not broken. Nothing's wrong. And I see that people can get a glimpse of that when the rest of the reality filters lift. So looking within and asking, who would I be? What would my experience be like if things kind of went silent in a sense, right? In that way, in the like, you know, the radio's on kind of way. What would my experience of life be like? And then reflecting on times when you have felt alive, like really alive. For some, that may not actually bring much up. For some, there might be a lot of reference points. Those times when you feel most alive and connected with life, that is your essence. That is actually your normal orientation and disposition. And you have access to that all the time. And the only thing that makes it feel like that's the exception versus the rule or the norm are these reality filters that get in the way. And so my invitation, or I guess the message that I would love to share with the world, is that your natural orientation is thriving right now. It is inside of you right now, your inner thrive. And it's letting go that allows for you to tap into that and experience that. And when you do, you don't need all the rest of the layers and the filters. You'll experience that something else kind of takes over. Something else can guide you. Something else inspires you and energizes you to live versus following the rules or the rule books or the narrative radio that's always on. So my invitation would be to try it on. Just try it on. This might sound bananas. This might sound refreshing, but please get curious and explore. When do I feel amazing? When do I feel alive? What is that like? What's happening in those moments? And then conversely, when do I feel crappy? When do I feel stressed out, anxious, overwhelmed? Which unfortunately for most people is most of the time. And feeling into that distinction, that difference. We're not meant to live in a state of anxiety and overwhelm and stress, and essentially what all these reality filters induce in us. That's not, in fact, that our system is telling us, like our wisdom is telling us, like, wrong way, go the other way, go back to inner thrive. Like stress and anxiety and overwhelm, those are actually signals that are trying to help us. They're saying, this isn't the healthy way to be. Go back, come back home, come back to inner thrive. So to experience your own inner wisdom in this sense, in this compass, in this inner guidance system that you always have all the time, is that's the key. I believe that's the key to waking up and coming home, which is your birthright. That's what we're all, everything in nature is designed to thrive ecologically, right? We're no different. So if we're feeling like we're not thriving, let's listen to that. Yeah.
That's beautiful. That's a really powerful message. And I want people just to allow that in, allow that to be something they're doing. It's just a state they can be in. Even if they'd get nothing else, I would just like them to just take a moment, give yourself space to explore and experience your inner thrive. I love the piece about waking up and coming home. I think we innately all know. We know that inside, and I think we have to just remove the blankets. We have to remove those layers of people shooting on us. And especially the bit about where people, if they don't really know, it's like, go to where you feel alive, do the things be with the people who make you feel alive, and just avoid the others. I think there's so much wisdom in that, and like just creating the space to thrive, because the society gives us so much to do and be and think and whatever that just keeps us away from that. It just keeps smothering our inner flame. So I want to, at this point, just invite everybody here, just please take a moment and just comment below, just share what's coming up for you. What is this? What's the message you're getting out of this conversation? Because we're here to serve you. We would love you to share how this has impacted you, because what will happen is it will impact others, and it will share, and it will create a ripple for other people. So if there's something coming up here, just if you're like, what message are you getting? What action can you take? What is there something you could be doing? for yourself, for others. But I think it all begins inside. And so then I want to ask, we're going to go on a slightly different direction now because there's a piece we haven't really touched on. Do you want to say something, Fawn?
Yeah, sorry. I just think that you just prompted something very, very important. Yes, which is the slowing down. The slowing down of our system, of our giving ourselves permission to slow down allows for us to hear and feel our own inner wisdom. We're not meant to be constantly going 200 miles an hour, and we know that because we feel it. That is the number one thing I hear is, constantly behind. I feel like I'm always running around. I'm so busy, right? That keeps us, as to your point, Pete, distracted from having access to inner peace and to inner thrive and inner wisdom. It's not that inner thrive and inner wisdom and inner peace go anywhere, but it's like trying to drive through a snowstorm versus waiting for some clear weather and then getting a sense of the terrain, getting a sense of our inner world and the world around us. And so really this is, you know, everybody's permission. Coach Fawn is writing you a permission slip to slow down. And it's going to feel awkward. It's probably going to, you're going to feel some resistance of like, oh, I have so much to do. Yeah, okay. But trust me when I say that slowing down is the direct access portal to feeling better, to really, truly feeling better. So thank you, Pete, for prompting that, because that is something that I wholeheartedly believe.
I agree with that too. I struggle with a to-do list and these things which feel like if I'm not doing something, I feel like I'm not getting anywhere. Where in reality, if we can either just get rid of those things or just say, is it really important now? Or who is it important to? Maybe it's not even ours to deal with. And then that immediately frees up our space. It gives us a moment in time where we can just really be present and we can just take a moment for ourselves. It's like you get to live in Mexico and you have this truly, truly incredible property with these stunning views. It's boat access, which is really cool in itself. How did you get to live like this?
Honestly, a combination of very, very blessed fortune and I mean, I can't take credit for so much in the sense of the generosity of what has come to me from the universe. And my intuition and staying true. And I had to hit a few rock bottoms, honestly, to hear the part of me loud enough that was telling me, you don't belong here. I was living in Los Angeles for a while. I lived in, you know, San Francisco for a while. I was, again, kind of in these existential tailspin moments of my life where now looking back, I realize, oh my gosh, my intuition, my inner wisdom was sending me all these signals and I just didn't know how to interpret them and or I was quite blatantly like ignoring them because of other situations that were going on. And so deep down, I always knew that I wanted to travel, that I yearned to have the freedom and flexibility to leave the United States. I didn't necessarily know that I wanted to live permanently outside the US, which is what's become the case. But I knew that I wanted to be a citizen of planet Earth, and that there just wasn't anywhere in the US that resonated with me in terms of what felt like my thrive zone. And so I finally had the kind of you know, the wake up experience and decided, all right, I'm pouring everything into building my business, into serving my clients, into creating a way that I can flourish in doing what I love and have the freedom and flexibility to do so. And then a few years into that, I was able to put everything in storage and take off and start traveling and exploring. And my adventures brought me to the Pacific side of Mexico, and I immediately fell in love with the landscape. It's lush green mountains and crystal clear waters, and I just had no idea that, I mean, and this close to the States too, it's so funny, but and so I listened to my intuition every step of the way. At that point I was like, okay, I'm gonna listen to you. I'm not gonna, you know, go a different direction than what my than what I'm feeling called to do. And a friend and I were traveling, and long story very short, we took the boat from Puerto Vallarta to Jalapa, which is the village I live in now. We had been invited by some people that we had met in a different place, and they were getting married, and they invited us to their wedding here. And so we said, oh, sure, we'll go. And as the boat was going just along this gorgeous coastline, I mean, it's every time I take the boat to PV to go shopping, I feel like I'm in just absolute paradise. But we turned the corner, and as we came into Jalapa Bay, it's this little, I'm looking out at it right now, I have a view. We turned the corner, and seeing the valley and the mountains, it just hit me. I have to stay here. I need to be here for a while. I didn't know what that meant. Didn't necessarily know how I was going to make that happen, because it's literally remote and by boat. But I just knew. And so I got an Airbnb for a few weeks, met some locals, found a place, and then ended up falling in love with my incredible partner now of almost 5 years. I can't believe that was almost 5 years ago. And then I was like, oh, this is why this place was calling me in. I see. It's beautiful. And my soulmate is here. So yeah, just, you know, meeting him, falling in love, I would go, you know, travel elsewhere, you know, a bit, and go back to the States during the summers for the first couple of years. But then really just knowing, oh my gosh, this is home. This feels, I thrive here. I love it so much. And so then figuring out the logistics of that was very, fortunately, very doable here in Mexico in terms of residency and logistics and, you know, working for myself. And thankfully, I think high-speed Wi-Fi went in the year that I arrived here, so I really lucked out on that. But really following my intuition, following my desire, instead of listening to, and there were a lot of peers and friends and family who were like, are you okay? What are you doing? Can you come back to the States and get a normal job, please? And like live like a normal person. but something in me knew that I could never, that just was not what life was calling me to be and do. So staying true. And, you know, there were many moments where I'm like, it's either finding out, you know, if this is possible or bust. There's no other option. And wisdom, guidance, synchronicity, leaning into my purpose, working really, really hard, but nonetheless, it being in total alignment with my passion and my purpose has allowed for, again, like I feel so grateful and so honored to have co-created this with the universe, really. But it's something that feels terrifying for most people because of what they've been told about what life is supposed to be like and what's possible and what the consequences and ramifications would be if they don't follow the norm or the path. And that's all bullshit, especially nowadays, right? Like remote work is, you know, so much, it's obviously so much more a thing than it ever has been, which has given a lot of people a lot of flexibility. But so like it's the simultaneity of listening to guidance and following the path while at the same time kind of forging the path. And like, if there's not a way, I'm going to create a way to live here, to do this, to make an impact, to serve others, and to have fun, and to like really, really enjoy it, you know? And I think that's overlooked hugely as well. It's like life is supposed to be this really serious series of school, college, job, white picket fence, blah, blah, blah. And again, nothing wrong with that, but like, is anybody having any fun? Or, you know, it feels like that's been axed and sacrificed a while back. And, you know, part of thriving is that it's fun.
I think that's so important, is the fun component. I think it's about how we, all of us, it's like if we could bring that childhood-like play back to life, things would be so much easier and simpler and enjoyable. I want to say a huge thank you to you, Fawn, for sharing your wisdom so freely and generously here. And I would love for people to be able to connect with you. So what's the best way for people to learn more about the work that you're doing, to follow along and see photos of Mexico and things like that? What's the best way for people to connect with you?
Yeah, thanks so much, Pete. Connect with me. I love connection. I love community, building community. I'm here as a resource. So my website is FawnMillerCoaching.com. And my YouTube channel will be launching within the next month or two, and I'll be sharing all kinds of really fun wisdom and guidance from all aspects of what I teach and what I, you know, share with my clients. And so I've been cultivating a body of work that I am so excited to share with the world, and, you know, just freely, provide more access for those who might be in a space of curiosity or like feel that awakening within them, but not necessarily know what to do. So I will be up to sharing that on my website, my YouTube channel. You can follow me on Instagram at Coach Fawn. And those are the avenues as of now, and in the future, there will be some bigger things on the horizon, but that's where you can find me at this point.
Thank you so much. We're going to make sure those links are I'm recording.
Perfect.
The links will be in the description below, or are in the description even. And so then just a couple of fun things here. I'm just curious. What advice would you give to your younger self?
Ooh. Like how much younger?
You choose.
That's a good one. Keep following your intuition. Keep following your inner knowing. Keep trusting yourself.
That's awesome. And then the next one is on the other side. 20 years from now, you've accomplished everything that you have intended. What would that version of you give to the current version of you?
Interestingly, the same. Input. Keep trusting your intuition. Keep trusting yourself. Yeah.
I think that's such a powerful message, how it's just we're like our power is within us. Mm-hmm. And it's like who benefits from us giving our power away? And just we kind of be discerning on who that is and what their motives are. So I want to sort of just express my immense gratitude for the information and the wisdom and the knowledge and this journey that you've shared with us right just here. And I just want to, that's just be like, it's so important the work that you're doing. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the transformation that people can have doing this. I'm grateful for the opportunity for people to learn about the work that you're doing. You very kindly offered a free gift to our audience. So please check out the links in the description, follow Fawn's work, but also there's a free gift that you can claim. And that is the Inner and Outer Thrive Guidebook. an informative, engaging, and actionable guide for awakening and activating your inner and outer thrive. Sounds amazing.
I'm excited to share it.
You want to share a little about it?
Sure, yeah. So I've essentially taken my massive body of work and distilled it down into a simple and actionable series of, it's a combination of information and experiential activities that will then facilitate a new way of experiencing potentially a bit of transformation within yourself to catalyze or to continue if you're already on the journey of awakening and coming back home to the truth of who you are. This resource, in any case, is intended to be a supportive guidance system that collaborates with your own internal guidance system to facilitate your thrive, ultimately, both inner and outer.
That's really cool, because I know that everybody here could benefit from a little more thrive in their life. Some a lot, but I think it's missing for many people. So once again, thank you so much. I just have one last piece here. So in closing, I believe that we all must take imperfect actions. And this is for the benefit of future generations. If we do nothing, nothing's going to change. And I believe in imperfect actions. So what action could the viewer take today using the information that you've generously shared that would not only enrich their lives, but also positively impact those around them?
I would say that the most imperfect, perfect thing we can do is be honest with ourselves. To be honest with ourselves on a level, on all levels, but especially those parts of you, anybody who that are trying to come through and sprout through the concrete. So I would recommend, you know, grabbing a journal, going on a walk, creating some space for yourself in any capacity, and just asking yourself, okay, what is true and honest for me that I haven't been true and honest with myself about? What do I really want? What is really not working in my life? What do I really want instead? What feels true for me? What feels honest for me? That is the starting place for this ripple revolution. And I don't believe that in the universe there is even a possibility of perfect and imperfect, because those are human-made constructs that are, you know, unhelpful in the way that they've been used in our civilization. What the universe supports is honest evolution, honest growth, honest interconnectedness. So I invite everybody to, at the very, very least, be honest with yourselves about those parts of you that have yearning and longing and dreams and desires. And then connect with communities and people who share your dreams and desires, who can support you, who can be a safe space amidst a world of naysayers. Honestly, this like ripple revolution, I love the metaphor of ripple, in that universal change can start with a single action, a single spark. So by each of us being honest with ourselves, each of us awakening and coming together, the impact of that ripples not only throughout the world currently, but also throughout time in a really important way that I think is really vital for the thriving of all beings in the future. So yeah, give yourself permission to be honest with yourselves is basically the bottom line.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. That's a really, I've got like the hairs on my, just getting goosebumps from feeling that and feeling how that can have a profound impact for so many people. So we're coming to a close now, and I just want to express my immense gratitude once again and just say thank you, Fawn.
Thank you so much, Pete. Thank you so, so much. And everybody else that's a part of this amazing movement and anybody who is tuning in and watching and listening, thank you for your time and your attention and your energy. And I invite you to reach out to any of us and join the movement. And I promise it's a lot of fun. We're up to all good.